The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 433. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
I'm glad we're still friends after how things went last time.
And Brian Mungioma.
What up, what up?
What's going on? And Brett, I'm pretty sure you're addressing the fans, not the people at the panel. The fans were pissed at us last week.
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
They weren't happy, you know, but it's all good. You know, we're here for it. All right. So no Chris and Adam. I think Adam's having some internet issues because of storms. Chris is just, you know, dad energy wasted. So
son, they're practicing their Super Saiyan dance.
Something like that. Yeah.
Their fusion dance. That's what it is.
And I said this to Brian off air, but I'll say it again. Congratulations on your king. Pretty interesting.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Okay.
The ships are still called HMS, though, right? It's just His Majesty's ship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a cool thing, right?
Yeah. It works.
The only thing that I don't understand now is that we used to have like all these stamps. I say all these stamps, like all these places where they printed, is it E2R to stand for Elizabeth II? Yeah. So I'm guessing that they're going to have to change them to C3R, so Charles III. Yeah. So that includes stuff like postboxes and stuff like that. So someone has to pay for that.
Yeah. Do the Sex Pistols need to change their song now? Like God Save the King now instead of God Save the Queen?
Well, no, they can't because they wrote it when she was still alive, so they don't need to change it.
Okay, just making sure, you know.
Do we actually say the queen is dead, God, long live the king? What is it? Long live the king.
Yeah, long live the king, yeah.
Yeah, they did that when they put the crown on him.
All right,
So what took them so long to do this? I mean, is it just like they can't? You can't just go poop and, you know, make a date? Like, I don't know, it feels like it's been like a year since she's been gone or more.
You can just do whatever you want when you're a king, Manny.
I don't know. Can't he just be like, my coronation is today, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work that way.
He probably had to get permission from the prime minister, the guy who actually has power, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's in their budget. They're like, oh, you know, coronations and...
Coronation!
It's not in the budget!
Taking care of Elizabeth's 1,000 corgis.
Oh, boy. All right, man, let's get into it. We got a bunch of questions tonight, so let's dive in. And you know what the majority are about. All right.
It's all about PlayStation.
Yeah.
Everybody loves all the PlayStation first parties and don't give a shit about this whatever the hell is going on, right?
Everybody's right? enjoying their hobby and
Everybody's along. Enjoying their hobby, and we're only going to be here for like 30 minutes, right? No?
Yep, pretty much. All right, the first question, and Manny, this will be the featured image about this game. I know you've heard this question thousands of times, but with the shit show that was Halo Infinite and now Redfall, does the future of Xbox rest on Starfield? And at what capacity does this game need to be to change the tide for Microsoft?
To be honest, I always thought it hinged on Starfield.
I think it hinges more now.
It hinges more on Starfield, but to be honest, I never saw Redfall as a factor, ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't really, like, at the risk of being kind of hyperbolic, like, it's always been Starfield.
Yeah.
It will always be Starfield. Redfall was, I don't know, it's cool, but like, it's this weird redheaded stepchild of a game. Like, it was already in development that when they got acquired, like, it's just, it's been through development hell, man.
Redfall is like if you added sugar to your coffee, you really don't fucking need it, you know, but it's nice if it's there.
Yeah, it would have been great, but like, I don't think, like, this is when Babe Ruth came out of the plates and, like, pointed for, you know, a double, maybe. Like, it's this was not going to be a big home run thing. It would have been really nice if it were a good, solid, fun thing. But, like, dude, even if this were a banger, it just kind of would have been, like, a Left 4 Dead-ish kind of thing halfway on the periphery.
Yeah.
That what it does, what it has shown is like it really put Starfield in the hot seat.
Yeah, because that seems to, you know, the question is being asked because that's the kind of pervasive narrative now. It's like, oh, now that Redfall shit the bed, now like there's even more pressure on Starfield, which I understand where they're coming from, you know. But I will say this though, if Redfall had been good, people could have been like, hey, hold on, we got Hi-Fi Rush, we got Redfall, Starfield, like that would have been a pretty good run, I think, you know.
You think that would have been their hat trick?
That wouldn't, not a hat trick, but it would be a good showing. You know, it would hat look good.
Three wins.
Yeah, three wins. That's good. That's good. Yeah. I don't know sports analogies, so forgive me.
I don't know where the fuck that came from.
I don't know. But yeah, no, I think there's even more pressure now for sure. I mean, but you're right. You're right. The pressure was always there from the get-go. Probably would have been less so if Halo Infinite hit. But yeah, you're right. I agree with that assessment, basically.
I think it's the problem is it's cleaner cut. Like it was always that Starfield was going to be the thing that, you know, either won hearts and minds or made people just be like, I don't know what the fuck they're even buying studios for. But like with the clear failing of Redfall and the blame kind of squarely falling on how they've proceeded to do business since the acquisition, I think it just puts really clear edges on the thing.
Yeah,
it's very easy to see. And like I said, I think before it would have been, you know, Redfall would have been ammo, but the true kind of deciding thing in a lot of people's opinions still would have been Starfield. Like all that pretense is just blown away. And I think it's put Starfield so much in the hot seat. Like I said, last show, I'm not entirely sure if Starfield can deliver the win that they need. That's like coming out and, you know, like, all right, bases are loaded. We need a super extra ultimate grand slam to win this game. There's no such fucking thing. The best I can do is a grand slam. Yeah, 4-1.
Yeah, I mean, but that's literally what Phil Spencer said. He said the game could be 11 out of 10. It wouldn't change anything.
I think that was different. Like, I've seen that argument all over the internet, and I've been shocked about how many people that I think don't really understand kind of what he was talking about, or at least in context, right?
Okay, you got to explain, because like, to me, I'm like, it sounds pretty clear what he said, you know?
No, he's not coming out like saying everything's defeatist or anything like that. He's just saying like, our job is cut out for us. We need to do more than just make good games, but it needs to start with making good games.
Yeah. Oh, but I do want to say something to that. I don't think what he said was defeatist, because everybody, you know, they took that specific statement. They're like, oh, he's defeated. He's throwing in the towel. I'm like, I don't see it that way. He's right. The game literally could be 11 out of 10, and it still wouldn't do much to change the pervasive narrative, you know?
No,
like, and I've said this before. Xbox needs like three ultra bangers in a row for things to start changing. But anyway, Carlos, go ahead. What were you going to say?
It's just he's using that, and I'm going to say it, that defeatist attitude, saying, oh, if Starfield is an 11 out of 10, well, it's like, well, yeah, the reason why it's that is because the track record is not good.
Yeah.
The games you haven't released are not good. The onus is on you. It's not on the fans. It's not on Sony. It's not on anybody. You've decided, or your whole structure has implemented something that isn't to par with the competition. It's under your fault. Don't be like, oh, well, you know, Starfield's not going to change any of that. It's like, well, it's still up to you. So if you release a Starfield and it's an 11 out of 10, if you released Senua's Sacrifice 2 and that's an 11 out of 10, if you release another game and it's 11 out of 10, well, then things change.
That's,
you know,
that's what I said, though. That's literally what I said.
No, but you said you had a problem calling it a defeatist attitude.
Yeah, no,
and I wholeheartedly think that's a defeatist attitude.
Yeah, but you just said what I said right afterwards. I said if they release three games in a row, that is like, that's a win right there. But basically, I'm trying to say is I agree with what he said, that if this game comes out 11 out of 10, it will not change anything because it's just a single game. So in that context, I don't think it's defeatist. It's just a fact. Understand?
Yeah, but it's defeatist because it's his issue. It's like saying, Carlos,
I'm sorry. Do you disagree with that statement? That just on its own.
No. That was never part of the contention of the question here.
Okay.
Well, Carlos, aren't you ignoring the part where he said it starts with making good games, though?
He did say that too.
Yeah, but it, like, what I'm trying to say is,
he's not saying he doesn't need to make good games, or that they make good games, or they're, you know, he's still saying, our goal is to make good games, which we have not delivered on.
Yeah.
That being said, you're being reductive of the problem. And like,
the question was never, hey, Abe, Phil, are you going to catch up to Sony tomorrow? Or are you going to catch up to Sony by when Starfield comes out? No one asked that question. He prompted it on his own. Why? Because you feel what?
The question was, why don't you just focus on making good games?
I'm saying Phil brought it up. That no one asked him that question. He's like, we're never going to catch up to Sony if Starfield's an 11 out of 10. I'm like, why do you even bring that up?
The host literally asked him, why, you know, like, we've been in this situation before. Why aren't we just focusing on just making good games? If you make good games, it will come.
What I'm saying is no one asked him, hey, Phil, do you think if Starfield is an 11 out of 10 that you'll catch up to Sony?
No one asked him that specifically. But again, I still believe his statement is factually correct. I don't think it's defeatist, but we're going in circles right now. We all agree a lot is riding on this game. We could all agree on that, you know?
Yes.
But the second part of the question, which is
we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, we've gotten duds all last two generations.
No.
That's another one.
I'm not saying the game's going to be great. I'm saying a lot is riding on this fucking game.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of it is riding it on the positive side, because if Starfield is a mega hit, that'll do wonders for Microsoft and give them another grace period. But if it fails, I'm like, I mean, isn't that the status quo at this point? And Xbox people are still, you know, eating everything up. You know, I don't know if this is going to change them from being like, well, that's it. Oh, I can already see the built-in excuse. It's like, oh, well, you know, Starfield wasn't developed when it was on Xbox. You know, it was acquired and it was already in development. You know, we got to wait for Elder Scrolls 6. # wait for E3 all over again. That's how I see it.
Yeah. And the second part of this question, which I guess is more, you know, it might be harder to answer, like, at what level does this game need to be at in order to change the tide for Xbox? I don't know if a single game could do it. That's my answer. I don't think a single game could do it. This game could be the greatest game on earth. It's like, that's fantastic. Give us more of that.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on what changing the tide actually means.
Yeah, no, I think it needs to be consistent, you know?
Yeah, like if changing the tide means going to get Manny and Tony to get Xboxes, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. I got a PC. I'm good. You know, I'll play Starfield that way.
But if you get Manny and Tony to say, oh, that's a good one.
Manny doesn't need a PC. Manny, you got a PC already too, so you're good.
I do got a PC. I mean, I do have Game Pass, but I mean, yeah. I haven't seen any.
Starfield's not a Manny game, though. You know?
No, I never cared for the Bethesda open world title, so it's not something that would make me want to sit down and play it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I would. To be honest, if it was Hi-Fi Rush and a couple of other things, then yes, I would have gotten it for that.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit of an outlier, Carlos. I don't need an Xbox. I'm good. You know.
No, I'm just saying it this way. Like, I just like the.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying. Like, can it change the other people who would be more willing to get an Xbox or whatever? Yeah.
Like switching the tides is like getting people who don't have an Xbox to get one.
Yeah,
like, that's
the kind of
tide that I'm referring to.
I agree with that. We'll see. Very interesting, man. All right. Next question here. Also from Mop Hits. Should Xbox have more oversight over the studios under it in order to prevent another disaster like Redfall? So, because, you know, we heard Phil Spencer said, we just let them do their thing. So Mop Hits is wondering, should they have more oversight?
They just need to watch their studios a bit better. But I think they sort of just assumed, okay, you know, these guys have shipped a game before. We don't need to be watching them like hawks. But also the other thing, understand is that you gotta like realize like Phil Spencer is not looking over every single studio personally. You know, there's probably people on who, you know, look at every single one of their third party and first party studios to make sure they're on schedule and all that other stuff. So. Then, you know, maybe from the outset it looked like everything was running okay, and then they played it.
Yeah, I don't know. We have another question about this.
But one thing I could say for sure is that it wasn't a total surprise. just by the plain fact of how they released codes to the gaming media. They knew what was coming in store, just like any other studio out there. It's not like they know, like, oh my God, it's a bad game. No, they probably knew at the same point that they probably knew that they couldn't get that 60 frames per second working. And I think at the same time they knew that the game was not up to par. So you put the kibosh, you do a 24-hour play time, and if release time, so essentially the next day, so that nobody has enough time to have really to do thorough reviews, so they can still catch some of that a little bit if anybody pre-ordered it, or people playing on Game Pass to continue to to go after it. But, yeah.
All right. You know what? I'm going to move this question up next because it's related. Chackzilla. Go ahead. I mean, Brett, let me ask you, because I think it's on the same subject. How did Redfall get released in such a poor state? Xbox must have known it wasn't ready. What happened?
Oh, yeah. That is a relevant question. I'll be honest. I'm going to throw this out here because I think it needs to be said. After everything that I've read, I think Microsoft knew Redfall was just gonna flop. And I kind of understand it a little bit. Like, you come in, you buy a studio that's already a fair amount into making their game, all right, and you see that game is not what you would write home about. Like, you're kind of in an ugly situation at that point. Like, do you come in, do you just cancel the game? Like, how is that gonna work from around? You come in, we buy the studio, we're not going to change everything except where you're taking off the big thing you've been developing for a couple of years, and it's never going to see the light of day. Like, I'm not saying that they made the right answer, but I am saying, like, that is a difficult place to be. And I don't know that outright canceling it would have been better. I don't know that going in and swinging their dick around and saying this is how we do things is going to work. Like, normally I kind of advocate for an offhanded approach too. So am I going to change my tune now that we got some bad results delivered from that? Like, I don't think so, man. I think generally it is good to let people be creative and have their own direction. I don't know what I would have done in that situation. Cause yeah, like, the answer probably was come in, after you bought the studio, look at what they're doing, shut the game down and fire some people. But like, in a new studio that you just acquired, like, how well is that going to fly?
Yeah,
and how realistic is that?
And with a heavily publicized game, because here's the thing: we've known of games that get canceled pretty much when they're almost done, but you couldn't do it with this one, man. Way too high profile, you know?
Yeah. So I mean, like, because they even internally they were expecting to get an 80, an 80, a low B, a high C. Mm. Like, that's not the kind of thing where you are trying to. That does not seem like what Microsoft is trying to do. It seems, I don't know, like the best of a bad scenario, and best is in quotes, because I don't even know if that's really, like, again, it may have been better to go in and make some enemies, but is that also, I could also see it as like, we just spent all this money to acquire this talent. The last thing we want to do is go in and make enemies of all them immediately.
Yeah. As for the other question, how did, did Xbox not know the game was in this state?
I think they did.
Yeah.
They knew.
You can't not have a game under your development studio and not know what the state of it. They knew what it was, and I mean, I feel like if it was an option to release it or not, they probably just like, we need something in there. So now the question is, can these guys get this game in order? Like, yeah, really, with the amount of issues beyond just the frame rate stuff.
Do we want them to? Like, that's the new, like, issue. I'm like, no. So are you now going to take this studio and have them expend resources shining up a game that is fundamentally flawed at its core? We all know Redfall's not a good game. It's not going to be a good game, no matter how much cyberpunk time you put into it. This is not a No Man's Sky situation.
There is like there's so many things wrong with this game. The whole, like, you could tell it is just sort of a weird patchwork. Like, they have cinemas that they don't do anything in. Like, they're just these weird, like, sort of flat cinematics that they have, so they couldn't do any of that. There's all this AI issues. There's so many things in the game that are wrong. Like, how is it that you can salvage this?
I don't think they can.
Yeah, I don't think. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Brett, my man.
Yeah.
I don't think they can. Like, I think.
I agree.
Again, I am playing Redfall like right now, and I have been for like the last couple of hours.
I'm sorry.
it's a changing of the king, you know. So it has to happen. So my thing is, I don't think Redfall can be fixed because it's not in a state to be fixed. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's to make Redfall work, they would need to pretty much redo, I'd say, 60% of the game. And I don't think that's going to be worth it in terms of financially. So hence, I don't think that Redfall can be salvaged. Because even if they do fix the issues, like the frame rate and the AI, there's still the core game issues that don't make much sense. And that's at the problem of Redfall. It's because it's not like Star Wars Jedi Survivor, where it's like, okay, you fix the frame rate, you still have a really good game there. But no, it's like here, you fix the frame rate, you still have a game that has design choices that don't make sense, issues that don't make sense, and just other, there's other problems underneath the problems that are at the surface. So I really don't think there is anything that they can do to salvage Redfall. I think they should just get to a working condition where the bugs are relatively low, and then just say, okay, you know what, we're done. Because it's very surprising. And the thing that really annoys me is it actually has interesting potential. Like, there's like an interesting game underneath all this mess. Like, let's say half an hour ago, I was going through like one of the buildings, it's nighttime, and then there's a vampire in there, and it's darting around the place, you know? That's generally spooky, you know, and it's interesting, you know, like, okay, there's vampires in the building, you know, like, where is it? Behind me? Is it in front of me? I need to hunt it down. That is something, you know. But then they layer on all this other stuff that doesn't need to be there, like in terms of the weapons have levels and have rarity, and then there's the performance problems. No matter what happens, the issues of the core gameplay will still persist, and hence I don't think that it can be salvaged, which is a shame. Because again, it's a good idea just implemented with really shit things and really poorly.
Damn, it sounds like the only way they could salvage it is a Final Fantasy 14 situation to start from scratch, basically.
Well, I mean, yeah.
They're not going to do that. Oh, he did?
Yeah, he said there's no, like... I don't know if someone asked him about delaying the game, and then feels like, yeah, there's not any delays that can help this game be what it was supposed to be.
That's it then, you know?
Again, it sounds like they knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, they must have known. Damn.
By the way, completely off topic. Uh-oh. I'm sorry to do this. Tony, I saw that video. What the fuck are these people doing? Just standing there by the fucking hippo?
Yeah, that's stupid.
Anyways,
they're fucking dumb. That security guard's lucky he didn't get his head bitten off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people talk about, oh, hippos are cute. That's the most dangerous fucking animal, bro.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's a true savage killer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they kill 500 people a year. Like, that shit is real. Anyway, next question from Mr. Chackzilla. All right, how many more L's can Xbox take before people have had enough? Why can't the company produce quality games on the level of PlayStation and Nintendo's first-party exclusives? That's two questions.
But it's a weird one because, again, it's like, I feel like the thing that's, you know, partially, I think that's what the frustration with Phil Spencer is on that, at the show, is that the fact it's like they can't get a win out of any of this stuff. They're like, they're... It's like he's talking about Hi-Fi Rush. I was like, how is it that Hi-Fi Rush, the one that nobody knew about or cared about, is the one thing that they're only talking about? And everything else that just seems to just fall flat.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm not sure if it's a winnable situation. I mean, it's been, what, 5 years now? Like, we should just...
No, I mean, and not a win. Like, they're not going to win against, you know, PlayStation or anything. It's just, like, something to fucking talk about on the damn thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's like
something that look like, I mean, again, like, we only really have Starfield and that's it. That's all anybody knows. Like, and then with that slight little blip that Redfall was. But other than that, it's like, other than playing a bunch of old games over again, and maybe some of those small deals that they make to have, you know, certain franchises like Yakuza and all that stuff on there. I think they have Death Stranding on the PC version, but it's all a bunch of old games. Nobody, like, I'm not saying that people don't, it's not like, I mean, granted, if you want to ever go back and play all those old titles for a pretty decent price, yeah, go for it. But at the same time, it's like, that's not a thing to hinge your service on. Legacy, a bunch of old legacy games. It's the combination of new experiences and legacy. Netflix doesn't go and advertise the fact that they got Ghostbusters on there. Ghostbusters is not a selling point for Netflix. Netflix is like, oh, we got the new Chris Pratt movie on here. We got the new Stranger Things show on here. That's the thing that gets everybody. And then everything else is like the cherry on top. Oh, hey, look, we got all the Mission Impossible films, you know, Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that they're not trying. I think, honestly, just up until now, they've kind of not succeeded. It's like having a bad baseball team, but like, why can't we win any games? Well, because some of the players on this team suck. Well, Jimmy, that's just,
you know, to make a Mets analogy, since, you know, Chris is not here. you know what I mean? Yeah,
I'll say this, though, man, and I specifically want to talk about this on the, when we're closer to the date. But, dude, May 21st, right, 2013, that's when the Xbox One was revealed. You all remember that, right? It's been 10 years, and that moment signaled the beginning of the end. So, like, you want to ask how long have Xbox been taking L's? 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Well, I don't think they asked how long they were taking L's. I think they asked, like, what was it? How many? Because the theme of the questions definitely seems to be, like, how many more times can Microsoft fuck up before they lose their good faith? And the answer to that is straight up, like, half. They're already halfway in that boat. Like, it's what we're seeing is, like, failure to deliver and poor performance mixed with kind of the edge of an expectable runway. I mean, part of the reason they've gotten this much slack to begin with is, like, you know, they started acquiring studios, like, 5 years ago. How long does it take to produce a true AAA title? About 5 years. So in theory, we should be starting to see, like, Starfield kind of marks the beginning of, you know, you've had this for this long. This should be proper runway, proper ownership, proper management. This is when we should start seeing the new games. This should be heralding the beginning of a bunch of new games. And while I won't say Microsoft is fucked if Starfield doesn't deliver, what I will say is, in a lot of people's eyes, this is their truly out of the gate moment. And if they fumble with Starfield, then they just, you know, their first big show, they just face plant. And that's not great, but, like, you know, if you're betting on a horse and literally out of the gate, it stumbles, falls over and slams into a wall, you're not gonna be like, well, I have a good feeling about this. I don't think that they're completely fucked, but I think it is kind of this hallmark moment, man, where they have to start delivering now. They have to have some of their internal projects starting to come up. And, you know, we're all looking at our timing like, food should be out of the kitchen by now. So what's up? And I think a big part of it, and, you know, maybe I am being apologist in this sense, I've yet to really figure this out, but, like, it could have a lot to do with, I don't even know how to put it. Give me a minute. Talk to yourself.
Yeah. Again, when I realized it's been 10 years, that really just brought it all home. Like, Xbox has, how do you have a game company literally just have L after L after L for an entire decade? That is insane. And, you know, and I've heard this argument brought up, and I can't help but agree with it. If Xbox was not attached to Microsoft, it was just its own entity, it would have gone this way of Sega years ago, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, Brett, you know, you're always talking about, like, how can Microsoft, you know, reverse this trend? When you think about the fact that it's been a decade, man, I don't know how they're going to do it.
Can we do a quick experiment here?
Yes.
What's the best game Microsoft has released first party since the release of the Xbox One?
I've been thinking about this for 2 days, and I can't come up with an answer.
Because mine,
Forza Horizon games, maybe.
Yeah, either that or a Gears game.
Yeah, one of the gears four? Probably gears four. But think about it like this, and I know for a fact I've said this on a previous show. The best Xbox games that have been released now within the last 10 years are mediocre at best, man.
Whoa! Hold on a second. Are we talking personally or by the court of public opinion?
Both.
Okay, because Starfield being one of the biggest live service
that hasn't games that hasn't come out, that hasn't come out yet.
Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves, one of the biggest live service games on the market. It's up there with fucking Overwatch.
Okay,
we're talking about having a win.
Yeah,
that is a solid win for them.
You know what? Yeah, let's give them that because that is true. The game did very well after the fact, but like the in general, we don't hear like the enthusiasm for these games as you hear from the PlayStation and Nintendo guys. The games are generally not up there like that in the quality sector. Even games I like Quantum Break, I liked Rise, I liked Sunset Overdrive. Record wasn't that good. I like these games. No one gives a fuck.
I've read this multiple times. The problem here is like they're not doing bad numbers and engagement. They just don't have that jewel in their crown, man. They don't have that thing they can look and be like, do you see how much everybody loves us? Like, Xbox is making good money. A ton of people play Grounded. A ton of people play Sea of Thieves. A ton of people play, forget some of the other things that were mentioned, but like, they're getting some serious engagement and some serious fan base, not ones that really cross over with us a lot, but I mean, they're there. But they don't have that thing that they can point at and be like, see, we're doing good.
Yeah. They don't have their Spider-Man. They don't have their Legend of Zelda. You know, they don't have these titles. You know?
Yeah, because like I said, like Grounded was amazing. It's genuinely one of the best made survival games. Even aside from like being small thing, it's one of the best made survival games in terms of mechanics, stability, game structure. And I love those survival games, but they're not a big thing. And like they have, you know, an active player base of over like what, 3 million a day or some stupid shit like that. Like it's doing well, it's being engaged with, but it never got its break.
Yeah, I don't know.
So they need that crown jewel, and they need fucking, as we've said, they need three of them, not just the Starfield. They need three.
Three in a row, like consecutive, back, you know? I don't know. Man, Xbox. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on, man.
By the way, just quick shout out to Mob Hits who hit us up with the bits.
Appreciate it.
I moved this question up because it's also pertinent. Both Black Metal Gamer and Doomeka asked this question. Is it time, and I'm just condensing this for you, both of you guys, is it time for Phil Spencer to be replaced as head of Xbox? Even Phil Spencer himself said at one point he's going to have enough knocks on him that it'll be another guy in his seat.
Yeah, but to do it right now would just be a complete and total fail. And I don't think that Microsoft has the reserves to change direction again. Like, I feel like firing him right now would probably that be the continuation of the end that eventually lead to Xbox tapping out. And that's dire.
You think he has it in him? And again, this is what's so difficult about this is because you don't want to, like, it's easy to dog on Jim Ryan because the guy's an asshole, right? It's harder to dog on Phil Spencer. I'm being honest, because he's a genuinely nice guy, right? But at the same time, he's been in charge of Xbox for most of this decade that we've been speaking about. Look at what's been going on. At some point, he may have to go, man.
And I'm afraid.
And I'm not saying that lightly, you know, but
I don't think he should go. I mean, again, like.
But again, what can he do that he hasn't been doing?
And see, that's the problem. Like, sometimes this stuff takes a really long time when you're trying to turn a company around, when you're trying to actually get them to invest in games. Because the first 5 years, Microsoft wasn't even fucking trying. Like, we know at the end of the last generation that they were kind of like, meh, a little trepidatious, which means that not only were things not going well, but they knew that they didn't have the things in the work to make them go well. And so for them, for him to come in and kind of really get that chance to start buying studios and turn everything around, like, what's the saying I've always liked? You can't put 9 doctors in a room and have a woman give birth in a month.
Yeah, no, I get that. But again, we said almost the same thing about, oh, we got to give him time to clean up the Don Matrick mess. Now it's like, we got to give him time to clean up his own mess.
No, those goalposts have never moved. And that's why I think for me, this Starfield is important. Is like, look, when we get the average development time of a AAA game away from when they acquired the studios, that's when they need to start delivering. And that's what now is. It's been 5 years, the average time of a AAA developed game, since they started acquiring the big studios. So where the fuck are the games? Yeah. Like, until then, like, I understand you have to acquire the studios. I understand you have to write the deals. Now what is it? I think that's the big reason, moreover than any other reason, why Starfield has to deliver. Because even if a lot of people are putting the fine point on that, I think that's kind of thing. It's like, you bought a lot of studios, it seems, a while ago. What's going on there, Phil?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, ahead, it's, you know, the grace period can only go so far.
Yep. But again, it's almost been a decade of a grace period, man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at some point,
you got a grace period.
Well,
years of just falling on their face in the mud.
But the thing is, before that, Phil Spencer took over a year after the Xbox One launched. It's almost been a decade with this guy, you know? Even then, you're right. Okay, let's just say did he clean up the Don Matrick mess?
He started reversing. It wasn't until about five years ago that they seemed to really, he seemed to be like, we are buying studios. We have heard what you said. You want games. We're going to try and make it happen. We just dropped a shitload of money. It's been 5 years since that. So, I mean, that's how I look at it.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably fair, but still, man. Anyway, go ahead, Carlos. Go ahead.
Yeah, it just depends on what the grace period is for each and every one of us. Like for me, I the next 2 to 3 years, I feel like is like the most I could ever give to Phil if he still keeps on delivering the same product. For Brett, it sounds like another decade.
What?
It was a joke, Brett.
It was like, okay. Go ahead. Carlos.
Yeah, so I think you know, it just depends on the individual. If what they think, you know, that Phil deserves more time. You know, like Tony mentioned, we've already been with Phil for over eight, nine years, maybe.
Yeah.
So giving him three, that's 11 years. I feel like that's fair enough of a time frame to give someone to judge him holistically in terms of what the product is and if you're enjoying the product. As of today, May 2023, I'm not calling for Phil's head right now.
Yeah. Brian, what do you say?
It's a tough one because, again, we just don't know enough about what happens behind the scenes. All we can judge is the output side of things. And again, given the nature of making games, I do agree with both the points raised by Brett and Carlos, where it's like, yeah, you know what? Like, there's not been much results from when he took over. Like, yes, we gave him a grace period to clear up the Don Matrick mess, which is fine, you know, as he should get. But then at the same time, how much longer can he actually get as, like, a grace period? Because at some point, we do need to turn around and say, like, hey, you know, you've been at this for, like, X amount of years now, and still there's not been much movement, like what's been going on, you know. Yeah. So what? Maybe I think a good stopping point would be the end of this generation, which will probably be in about 3-4 years time now. So if there's not been any results after the Xbox Series X and the PS5's gone, then I think we should say, like, hey, you know, you've had the Don Matrick generation, and then also you had your generation, and you had like a transition generation, if you wish, and yet you still don't have any results. So bye bye.
I agree with Brian.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, moving on. Is this one's a little bit of a kind of? I guess it's a little bit of a joke from Black Metal Gamer, but here we go. Is Phil Spencer a clever con man and just doing the bare minimum to collect an easy paycheck? Is it possible he doesn't care about a game's quality so long as Game Pass is getting subscribers? Does he just put on a professional face for good PR but continue doing the same thing over and over? He messed up with Redfall, Sea of Thieves launch, State of Decay 2, Halo Infinite. So he's just basically asking, it's Phil con man. I don't think he is. I think
he's. Okay, I gotta ask.
I don't think he is. Just think the cards are just the cards of what have been approved. It's just not been in his favor, you know? I think that if you were going to launch, like, I would say the Xbox probably had the most, this current Xbox had probably the most appalling launch ever, despite it being the strongest console out there.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brett.
Which is, like, how did you, like, like obviously with delays and all that other stuff, it's like, man, it's about as bad as the launch of the PlayStation 3.
Yeah,
and that was a pretty lousy launch.
Yeah, Brett, what was your question?
I'm gonna say this with the disclaimer that nobody's gonna hear that I don't mean this to come off as the dig that it's going to sound like, but it is super obvious by some of y'all's statements that you have never managed or been in charge of anybody, because like it's like being, you know, the captain of a team and somebody being like, well, why does your team just not win? Like, I'm fucking trying to get him to do that. I'm trying to manage this. Like, it's sometimes you have, you know, failure in the rank and file. The system doesn't do what I, like, this shit all gets thrown up during times of transition too. So like, that's kind of why I say like, this is just a bad place to be, because you're going to get, you know, limited efficiency. Like, no matter what Arcane came out with, it was probably going to be their worst game because of the nature of, you know, just being bought halfway through that shit. You know, it was a bad game on top of that, so that was fucking tragic. But, you know, sometimes you are trying to manage people and you are trying to get all of your ducks in a row, and that shit is hard. It's not as locked down as we take it to be. You know, just because a lot of times Sony just seems to, you know, hit the win button over and over and over and over again, it's because they've got an incredibly talented team that has got this shit down to a science and have helped develop modern gaming into what it is. They hold the pedigree, man. Like, they make that shit look easy. But like, look at the fucking movies, man. Like, you can have a huge team of people on a movie and a couple people just don't do a great job. The graphics suck, the writing's kind of lazy, and the next thing you know, the movie's fucking terrible. Like, it's, I'm not going to disagree that this shit is bad, but like, y'all acting like they're doing it on purpose as some sort of like grand conspiracy.
Yeah, no one sets out to make a bad game. That's not a thing, you know. By the way, Mob Hits has a question for us here in the chat. He goes, let me ask the panel, come next year and we still haven't gotten Hellblade or an Indiana Jones or a Fable, and we get another, oh yeah, next year will be our year moment, then what? So I guess he's saying, if we don't get these games and then we just get like, wait till next year. Like,
wait a minute, if they're not out next year or if they're not announced next year?
Yeah, that's a good question, Mop. Because I don't think these games are like, maybe Hellblade, Indiana Jones ain't coming out next year. Fable sure as fuck is not coming out next year, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
If the answer is announced, like, I mean, I get kind of the impression, I don't know how much I should believe this, I get kind of the impression they're trying to get away from the whole announcing a game to have it come a decade later. I think Cyberpunk changed the world a little bit in that. And I think that they're really trying to get towards the whole, like, damn near shadow dropping, or the things they announce are going to come with the year or whatever.
He said anything, a trailer, anything.
Okay, so would you be happy if they came out and went like, here's everything we have lined up for the next 7 years, and they just straight up told you now?
Look how well that happened. Look how well that worked when they announced what was coming up in the next 12 months, you know? Like, you can't count on that.
Yeah, but even then, like I personally, like, I'm so sick of getting a game and like, when's that coming out? Like, oh, well, it's still, you know, proof of concept. We've had three meetings about it and given some art concept artists to some designs to work with. Like, don't tell me when you're starting fucking Cyberpunk. Don't tell me about Cyberpunk when you're planning on starting development in 3 fucking years. We got to the point where it was just fucking ridiculous. And I guess the thing that I'm telling myself at night, or I'm hoping, is like, can we just please get to the point where you're not announcing a game unless it's coming in the next 2 years?
You know,
like, I pray to God that's what Microsoft is doing, because you can tell Philip wanted to talk about some other things, but we know that they have a bunch of stuff in development. They could just be constantly talking about that, but for better or for worse, it seems they want to keep it under their hat. And dear God, I hope as a gaming industry, we can get back to that. I don't want to quit announcing games that I don't know if I'm going to be dead when they come out, man.
Oh, my God. And yeah, that's the funny thing about that interview, because people are like, oh, he's pretty brave to be doing an interview during this time. It's like, no, he was going to, that interview was already locked in place. They were going to do something else. So we're going to talk about something else. And then the Redfall insanity happened, you know? So I don't know what they were going to talk about, but that was he didn't go on there to apologize, basically.
He needed to take his lumps. It's not even a brave. It's just necessary, man. Like, it's like after you wrong somebody, it's not brave to apologize. Like,
yeah,
you owe this to your people. That's part of the job. Get out there, sack up, take responsibility.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, let's move on here. Chuko 2565. Judging from Redfall, Halo Infinite, Crackdown 3, Bleeding Edge, Battletoads, etc., Do you think Microsoft is over its head with 23 studios? Should it stay away from Activision and cultivate its studios? So he's basically asking, are they doing too much? Most of these studios are doing their own thing, though, you know?
That's kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Like, a lot of these games were already in development beforehand. Again, I don't know how much pushing they're doing to get these games out, but, you know, I don't think it's a matter of, like, oh, they can't concentrate on all these things. It's a big fucking company. They sure as shit can, you know?
Yeah. I also say there was no winning with Battletoads. You're not going to bring back an iconic fan favorite from 30 fucking years ago. It was essentially bare minimalism. And then be like, yeah, we can do that again. Like, nothing was going to make anybody happy.
Well, and that's why I had my biggest issues with Microsoft and their direction. And this has to do with Phil. Perfect Dark? Fable?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Like, the fan base is Fable was a great game when it came, you know, when it came out. Fable 2 was even better. Fable 3 fell off the cliff, and then Fable Legends didn't come out, and then now it's a different studio, and they're going to try to get a magic of from a studio that didn't do the original and from a franchise that isn't that beloved anymore. And what was the other one? Perfect Dark.
Was it ever? Whatever was ever was like, hey, Perfect Dark. Remember those good times playing Perfect Dark and thinking it was almost as good as GoldenEye? Like
the first one, yeah.
The N64 one was the one that everyone loved. But then, you know, they tried to do it in when the Xbox 360 launched, and it didn't do that good. The only reason it sold was because it was a launch game.
The only reason Perfect Dark did well was by people who made GoldenEye, wasn't it?
I don't know if that one came out before or after GoldenEye.
I think it was after.
Let
me see.
If I remember correctly, and I maybe die because I've smoked a lot of weed in my day, but okay. Like I remember Perfect Dark riding the coattails of GoldenEye.
That's the way I remember it as well. Let me see. So Perfect Dark came out in the year 2000, right? GoldenEye came out before.
It must
have. 1997. So yes.
Yeah, GoldenEye came out before that.
Yep. All right, continue. Yeah,
so GoldenEye was the inspiration. It was the rise of its generation. Yeah. But yeah, you know, the direction with trying to make these games, you know, from, you know, these studios where, you know, franchises from people that don't really care about that much anymore, it's kind of head scratching for me. And I don't remember what the point, what the original point was. It just kind of lead me to that talking point. But yeah,
yeah,
I'm there with you. A whole lot of but why.
But why? Yes, man.
Yeah, even, you know, I always got, I didn't like this game. Brett clearly does. But at least with Rare and Sea of Thieves, they try to do something different.
Yeah.
And it was a success. And but, like, you know, the Perfect Dark stuff, and, you know, I don't know, man. I'd rather have another Sea of Thieves attempt. I mean, obviously different game, but, like, the inspiration being the same. As opposed to, you know, trying to get the former glory that wasn't that glorious.
Okay. All right. Moving on here. Oh, sponsored questions.
Oh.
Snap.
Yeah, because Bob Hitz has more questions. So the very generous Mr. Romudeth has sponsored the extra questions.
What a guy.
Yeah, great guy. All right. This one's interesting. Okay. Would it be possible? And by the way, guys, let me finish the question because I already know somebody's going to jump in. I'm one of the guys that wants to jump in and answer it beforehand. But, you know, let's
don't interrupt yourself, Tony.
Exactly. Like, hold on a second. Would it be possible for Xbox to revert to a pre-Game Pass model and start offering its first-party games via retail and digital only? Perhaps it can drop games on Game Pass 8 to 12 months after launch. This way, we'd at least see sales numbers instead of just nebulous engagement numbers. They're not going back. Remember,
this is going to be a resounding no.
Yeah. Remember, the reason Game Pass exists is because they couldn't compete on this level, right? And again, okay, let's just say they do that. Let's go back to a pre-Game Pass model, right? What games are they releasing, right?
Why would you even ask for that? Yeah. Why would you want this?
Yeah. So basically, yeah, that worked fucking 15 years ago, but it wouldn't work now, you know? But you'll ask my answer. My answer is no.
Yeah, dude, I'm almost angry, like, not at you, just like the nature of that question. I was like, Game Pass is the only thing I can think of in, like, the last 15 years as gamers that they've given to us and not fucking taken away. Don't question it. Just don't bring it up.
But I understand why he's asking that question, because the general consensus is that Game Pass is just a dumping ground for shitty games. You know, like even Engadget, when they reviewed Redfall, the headline was literally Redfall review, good enough for Game Pass. That's the kind of the consensus. Yeah.
Slap in the face.
I think that consensus is just bullshit, to be fair with you.
Yeah. Are you saying that's where you would put Yakuza?
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's the consensus. I'm not saying that, you know?
Well, consensus is wrong because there's so many examples as to why. And again, I'm going to bring up one from this year. So what's Forspoken's excuse?
Yeah,
because if Game Pass is like a dumping ground for shitty games, then how is it that there's a shitty game that's not on Game Pass?
That's a good point.
To be fair, it will be eventually.
it's a PlayStation exclusive, you know?
Exactly. I just don't like that as a narrative because I think it's just nonsense. Like, I think the issue is that there are games on Game Pass that are not that great, but yet somehow people have turned this into, therefore, Game Pass is a place where people put their bad games. It's like, no, Game Pass is just a place that has bad games. Game Pass also has really great games. I mean, at one point, Game Pass had Red Dead Redemption 2 and GTA 5.
Yeah.
But yet,
it sounds like Blockbuster to me.
You know, it's like, that game that no one knows about called GTA 5. It was on Game Pass, you know. You know, Game Pass has Doom and Doom Eternal. Are they shit? Are those dumping ground for bad games? Like, no. Like, it's just a place where some games release and some games are bad. Some games are good. That's every platform. Like, find me a platform that has nothing but bangers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You won't ever, because there's no such platform that exists. Like, you can go to, I'm pretty sure in saying that you can go to any single gaming platform system, whatever you want to call it. There's no one that exists with just bangers because it's a myth.
Actually, Brad, that's a good point. Glass Houses. What is your fucking killer game on PlayStation's game service?
Oh, no, it's not even that. It's just the idea of like, oh yeah, Game Pass has some bad games. Ergo, it's a dumping ground for bad games. Like, it's not. It's just. Oh,
no. By the way, the guys in the chat are saying it's a dumping ground for bad first party games.
Dude, that's every platform. Every platform has bad first party games. And plus, it's not just first party games on Game Pass. As I said, there's just. Yeah, again, you can say, okay, Redfall's one. It's like, yeah, that's recent. Go back 2-3 years ago, naming one.
Bro, when was the last time we got a good PlayStation Plus game?
Oh, I'm not even going to talk about that. Like, I'm not even going to do, like, what about.
Oh, no, no, I'm not saying the either or. I'm just saying, like, I agree with you when you say, like, yeah, people put generally the entire scope of things on that. You're never going to get all killer on the service that gives you a bunch of stuff. It's going to be mixed in with some crap.
I feel like it's two different discussions. The ones that are going on the chat and the ones going on here. It's objectively true that there are good games that come out on Game Pass, but it's a different discussion if someone from the chat believes Game Pass is affecting first party games, which is not a discussion we're actually having.
It's not affecting first party games.
That's
it's
just also the narrative as well. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's a different discussion.
It is a different discussion.
It's not affecting first-party games because there haven't been enough first-party games on there to make that conclusion. Like, what, there's been Halo Infinite? You could possibly try and classify Redfall as first-party, like, given that it was taken over. But then, in that very nature, you'd also have to classify, Brett, what's that, Deathloop? That also has to be classified, as that's also on Game Pass. And is that a shitty game?
No.
Again, if Redfall is technically first party now, since it was bought after, since it came after the merger, then Deathloop also counts as that because it falls under the same idea in that it was released post merger.
Yeah, I think Mopis is trying to say that Stray and Sifu are on PlayStation, so it's better. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Bob Hits.
What?
That those Stray? Games, yeah. Wasn't that on PlayStation?
Yeah, it was on PlayStation.
Yeah, but I don't get the argument. You know, like, I thought we were talking about Game Pass being a dumping ground for shitty games, and I'm saying it's not. It's just been that there have been a few games that have been bad.
Yeah, you know? But then there's also been a few games
that have been, that have been great. Again, as Brett mentioned, all the Yakuza games, I think apart from the last two, which I think are Like a Dragon and Ishin, are not
Like a Dragon's on there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, there you go. You know, it's like just because there's a handful of few games that are not that great, it doesn't mean that you can just say, oh yeah, it's a dumping ground for bad games. It's like, no, it's just got a few bad games on there.
I feel like that's saying, like, you know, the mall only sells cell phone cases and churros. Like, no, that is a fair proportion of what they have in there, possibly even a larger than average portion of cell phone cases and churros, but they got other stuff in there too. They got the good stuff that you're looking for. It's just, again, every streaming service, especially where they give you something that's, a quote unquote, a value, it's going to be padded with some bullshit, man. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to say what about it in the PlayStation. Not, I was every, saying like,
yeah.
Not every Netflix film or series is a banger. But
there you
the
go.
Thing about it, but the thing about it is that there is the unfortunate part with the Game Pass thing is that there's nothing to talk about, and that's almost worse than that's almost worse. At least like it's either a bad game or a mediocre game. They can't crack the ceiling by having a truly like, yo, this is why you need to get this thing.
Yeah. By the way, Blitz says is like all we keep hearing is best deal in gaming yet.
Yes, because you get access to lots of games that range from the really good, i.e. Doom and whatever, to the really not so good, i.e. well, I say not so good, to the really shit, Redfall. No, and that's why it's a good deal. You get that wide range of like, okay, these, like, here are some bangers. Again, not made by Xbox, but that's a whole nother discussion. Here are some average games, and maybe here's that's some what low average
saying.
Games.
There's no first party bangers. Maybe that's what they're saying.
That's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah.
Think about it. Yeah, that is another discussion.
I agree with that.
But again, a lot of people like to cry and moan about exclusivity being a bad thing, but they're currently suffering from that idea. What is the reason to have this Xbox besides just playing a bunch of games that are currently available and a bunch of old games?
Yeah,
that's a good question. I don't have an answer to it, but that's a really good question. I don't know. There doesn't seem to be any so far.
Okay, how about this? Other than PlayStation first-party games, my Xbox has paid for itself in Game Pass games that I've played. If I had bought all the games that I had played on Game Pass on a console, that would have been over like $400 or $500 worth of games at this point.
But here's the thing. Like, would you have bought those games anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Blitz is saying... PS, what about PS Extra? Yet Xbox is the one that's the best deal.
Well, okay. Yeah. So what killer apps are on PS Extra?
Well, it has all those PlayStation exclusives compared to what Xbox has.
You mean they locked all their PlayStation exclusives onto the higher tier, right?
Yeah, no, but
those are just old games, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But I think we're kind of going in a bunch of different directions here. But yeah, let me look at the chat. The chat's wiry right now. Go ahead, Carlos. Go ahead.
Yeah, it just depends. It just depends on who's looking at the deal. I mean, for someone like Brian, who doesn't play games day one, most of the games that he's playing is going to be for the first time on Game Pass. So for him, I feel like it's a big deal.
Yeah,
like one of the best deals out there.
So Blitz is saying the higher tier of PlayStation Plus is still cheaper than Game Pass.
But you like this started with you saying like. They've got nothing on Game Pass, and then you compare it to a service which has significantly less.
But, okay, Brett, this is something you were saying. You were saying how you got your money's worth off of Game Pass. Isn't that kind of eye of a beholder? I unsubscribed because it had nothing for me, and I guess for him, PlayStation Plus does have something where...
I kind of assume we're talking about mostly current-gen games, though. Like, you have that line has to be somewhere. Like, yes, if you've never played a video game in your life and you want to go back and play all those hit PS2 titles, then yeah. There's going to be a lot on there for you. But generally speaking, I think we're talking about a combination of current-gen, first- and third-party successful titles.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, you could play PlayStation 4 games, and they're technically current-gen now since we have all this cross-gen bullshit,
Yeah, and there's a handful of good games on there. There is.
Yeah.
There is. The PlayStation Plus collection, which they're getting rid of, by the way, the PlayStation Plus collection has some bangers on it, but
they're not getting rid of the whole collection. They're just getting rid of that whatever fucking entry bullshit because they're already part of. They're already because those games are already part of PlayStation Plus.
That initiative. It was that initiative when they didn't have a bunch of games to come out, so they put out that essentially that 4 collection, which put out all their their.
But now all those games are available. By the way, Tomeka says PS Plus gets current gen third party games. So there you
but
go.
But are they
does it
available?
Have Oolong?
Hold on. Good. Can you just ask something? Those games that are part of PSN Plus collection, are they available to the base subscription or higher tiers only?
Probably higher tier.
Bingo. And that's the problem. Yeah. PlayStation Plus is just unanimous. So they are technically getting rid of them. You just need to pay more for them.
Yeah.
So the gatekeeping something that the gatekeeping.
That's true.
Yeah, but the higher tier with Game Pass. It wasn't the lower tier. Because they even mentioned that even if you get the higher tier, it's still cheaper than Game Pass Ultimate, which I don't know. I'm just trusting these guys.
I think they know a little bit more than us in some cases. But it feels like we're just getting wrapped up in semantics right now, you know?
Well, I think I can cut through this when there's something like, we've said if PlayStation supported its gaming service with current day one first party releases and current not necessarily day one third-party releases, that they would probably beat Game Pass.
Yeah.
Don't forget that we said that.
Shout out to who gave us money? You said, Piggy Dan, let's go.
Piggy Dan, he said, bring back Sly Cooper back or I riot.
Don't riot, please. Blitz says PS Plus Extra is cheaper than Game Pass? Anyway, seems like Brian and Brett have not looked.
Not look what? Have I ever checked out the service? No, I've checked out the service. It was a bunch of outdated shit that I had either already played or didn't want to play. They may have changed it in the last 3 months since I've looked. Sure, but they did. If you are trying to say that PlayStation's gaming service as of a few months ago was releasing good games and had a good value, you are being dishonest in the fucking conversation. We all know that Sony did its toe dip thing and was not committed to supporting its game service the way Xbox Game Pass has. That's why Xbox Game Pass wasn't strangled in its fucking crib, man. If Microsoft had said, we're doing this, and Sony would have been like, yeah, we're doing that too, this shit would have never taken off. We wouldn't be at this point. But it was because Sony went, nope, we feel like that's going to devalue our games, and so we're not going to do it. That let Microsoft get a foot in. But even now, to this day, if Sony came out and said, all first-party games, day one releases, that'd be the fucking end of it. But they don't.
Yeah.
And the reason we say that, to kind of close the loop, the reason we say that is because Sony comes out with good first-person games.
First-party.
So a gaming service with good first-party games versus a gaming service with no good first-party games, which one of these is going to fucking win?
Yeah. But again, to be fair, if you do subscribe to the higher tiers, you do get those first party games, you know? And they're not all like PS2 games, they're PS4 games. But Brett, it's funny you bring that up because like that's the reason I don't subscribe to either of these. They're just, you know, it's like they're last gen games at the latest. I mean, Xbox has some new stuff, but the new Halo Infinite, I'm not clamoring to play Halo Infinite, you know? So to me, both of these services aren't good, you know? So I'm the middle ground right there. They both suck. All right, let's move on. We still got more questions. Another sponsored question here from Mob Hits One. This one's funny. Would Microsoft be better off having an AI manage its studios rather than what they have now? Oh, man, that's brutal.
I notice a lot of that stuff is going on. Like, do you really want to give computers the control? Seriously. Yeah. I don't want to give people with computers control.
Fuck no.
Yeah, look at what Mark Zuckerberg did.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, he did put an LOL, so this is a joke question. All right, moving on here. Alpha Chuck. All right, looking at Bethesda post-Starfield, do you think Elder Scrolls 6 will even release this generation? I'm convinced it will be a launch window title for the next Microsoft console. One of the biggest travesties in gaming is waiting 2 decades for a sequel to Skyrim. Now that I think about it, would having Elder Scrolls 6 as a launch title for next gen be a smart move by Microsoft? They could have a high-profile AAA exclusive as a system seller.
Yes to all of that. Everything you said, yes.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I don't think this game is going to come out this generation. So, make it a next-gen game. Why not?
No, it's not. And, like, oh, my God. I'm sorry. I just have to say something. Like, I want to play another Sky or another Elder Scrolls before I fucking die. I've been supporting you since I was a kid. Just 20 years for a sequel is not okay. I understand you don't want to be the studio that just does this one trick over and fucking over again. But being like, oh, yeah, I'll tell my grandchild about the next Elder Scrolls that'll come out, and he will play it in my name. That it's not okay. It is not okay.
It is crazy. It is crazy that we still haven't got another Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah, right.
It's 2010 since Skyrim.
Let me check.
And Skyrim is a ridiculously big success.
Yeah, 2011. Holy shit! So it's been 12 years. Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and they haven't announced the next one yet.
Yeah, they did. They did announce it.
Yeah, they
did. They announced it. It was just
Mountains, Elder Scrolls 6.
Elder Scrolls 6.
They announced it, but they didn't say when it was going to come out. Obviously,
right, you know what? That be right yeah. after those things don't even done. Actually necessarily even need to become games. I've seen vaporware with more announcement than that.
Yeah, but they did announce it. You know.
Yeah, it's
sad. And motherfuckers lost their minds.
It's almost exactly the same way that they announced the Starfield, where they just showed a giant satellite.
Damn, the question. Hold on, another black mage goes, what's coming out first, GTA 6 or Elder Scrolls 6? Fuck.
I'll go with GTA 6.
GTA 6, yeah. Yep.
I'm going to say my grandchildren. Yeah, I don't even have kids.
Beyond Good and Evil 2. Ace Ali, what's going on, brother? Oh, man. All right, next up here. All right, now we're going to go into more general gaming questions. Next, this one is also from Alpha Chuck. He goes, special shout out to Brett. After his sermon hyping up Armored Core 6 last week, I have been playing the older games on emulators, and now Fires of Rubicon is one of my most anticipated games of the year. My question is, if FromSoft knocks this game out of the park like all the other games, will that create a resurgence of mech games similar to all the Soulsborne clones? What do you say, Brett?
Well, I don't think in general Armored Core is not going to be a Soulsborne clone.
No, but he's saying, will that game do for the mech genre what the Souls games did for, you know, all the clones that came out afterwards? That's what he's asking.
Yeah, because motherfuckers are followers.
you know, here's the thing. Like, the amount of mech games hasn't officially stopped.
No, we've been consistently getting mech games. But
we've been consistently getting mech games. So it's like, I mean, to be honest, like, Armored Core originally was one of those titles. I was like, hey, it's, you know, was a pretty good title. And it just solely declined. So, yep. You know.
So, Brett, you say it will.
I mean, first of all, anytime somebody does something successful in gaming, everybody copies it. That's just how it is.
Yeah. So, you think this
Zelda single-handedly set the precedent of AAA modern gaming. We all know this.
I don't know.
No?
No.
I was a joke, Tony. That was a joke.
I thought, because it was Rise, son of Rise, you know?
For instance, like, did you know, like, Sekiro is considered a Souls game, but it's not officially really is one because its mechanics go against the Souls formula.
Yeah.
So, are we seeing a bunch of traversal games coming out, like, that are like Sekiro? I don't know about that. Or ninja games?
I've heard that Armored Core may have more in common with Soulsborne games than you might think, though. Like, in terms of how they handle. I mean, I think there'll be similarities and I think there'll be differences, but like, yeah, the mechs used to be a big thing. And like, while I agree, we never stopped fully getting them. Like, it is no longer the heyday of giant fighting robots. And I think if somebody sees that the market wants giant fighting robots, they're going to be like, hey, you know, we can do giant fighting robots.
I mean, let me know if I'm wrong, but I feel like this is the biggest sentiment for this type of thing. Like, we know what the potential is for a truly realized 3D mech game, and we just haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah.
And if Armored Core 6 is what reaches that, then we can say, yeah, there's going to be a whole bunch of clones to follow because they finally tapped into the formula, but we still have to see them do that.
I think the real question is not going to be, are there going to be a bunch of clones, but like, will there be other legitimate games? Like, we all know there's going to be a bunch of Steam sale bullshit, cash grab, shitty games like that. Those follow in the wake of any big release, but like, could we see multiple well-made AAA big budget Gundam games in the future? That one I'm not as sure about.
Yeah, it's an anime games. They hardly put in budget to those.
It's a good question. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, you know.
Yeah, like, I don't know if From does a great job, I don't know if Ubisoft is gonna do one. And that's probably where I would put that. I guess I'm unintentionally talking shit on Ubisoft, but that's kind of where I put it. Like, when Ubisoft rips it off, that's how you know it's been done.
I mean, the shit talking is warranted, so Please continue with that.
Oh, man. Oh, by the way, not 100% related, but still kind of related. Like, I'm 43 years old, right? But I still get a kick out of seeing a robot transform. Like, it's something about it, man. It's like, you were a thing and you changed it to another thing. This is crazy.
Because they're robots in disguise, Tony.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. All right, anyway, moving on here. Dumeke. All right, his question is, oh, God. Manny, get ready.
Uh-oh.
What are your... Let me get through the question.
Is it time again?
I know what it is.
Yeah, we know
what it is.
Let me get through the question.
All right.
I'm going to take a well-deserved break.
How many times have we asked this question? What are your thoughts on Sony supposedly signing multi-IP deals with Konami for Metal Gear, Silent Hill, and Castlevania?
Obviously, it didn't work for Silent Hill because it's a multi-platform game, so it's a bullshit. It's a bullshit statement.
I am so, not you, Tumek. I'm so tired of this fucking. It's like every other month now with this goddamn rumor, and we've been hearing this for years. Since Throwdown started, we've been hearing this shit. You know, like
ever since the whole thing with Kojima and all that sort of stuff happened. What was that 2015?
Yeah, that's when it really ramped up. But it's like
that's when it went crazy.
Why do people every time this rumor comes up, people jump on it like they've never heard it before?
Yeah, it's like every month there's like a different variation of the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's coming from a bunch of people that have absolutely no clout in the industry at all. It's literally just Joe Schmo saying, I heard a rumor that there's going to be a Metal Gear Solid 3 a remake that's going to be PlayStation exclusive.
I want to make this clear. This week, we had one of the biggest kind of bombshells in gaming recently with this whole Phil Spencer thing. This still managed to cut through that. People, we've heard this fucking rumor 50 million times already. Stop it. Stop giving this clout. Oh, my God.
Yo, Tony, let me ask you a real question.
Here's the thing. Is it on the list of the only thing that we really should be listening to is that list that got leaked from NVIDIA.
Yeah, the NVIDIA. Is it on there?
Is that thing on that list? Because every single other thing was on there. Even the Silent Hill remake was actually on that thing.
Yeah.
So,
Pig Dan, no, Abandoned did not come out.
Abandoned has not come out, and it might be abandoned.
Yeah. Brett, what was your question to me, man?
You and Manny, actually. Like, okay. I feel like Kojima would probably be, and I know this is only kind of tangentially connection, but whatever. I feel like Kojima would probably be a good guess for an acquisition or Konami, just because of PlayStation's history with it. Do you think that people are just guessing the most likely scenario enough times so that if it does eventually happen, they'll be right? And do you think there's a chance that, not that it's going to happen now or that it is happening, but do you find it a likely possibility?
Yeah, I say no because Japanese companies don't gobble each other up like that. They merge. Exclusivity deal, absolutely. Again, that's not my problem with this. My problem is, this is what, the 10th time we've heard this in the last 5 years? And people are still treating this like we've never heard this rumor before? Like, do you people have bird brain? Really? What the fuck? We keep hearing the same fucking rumor. And you guys keep eating it up every time.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm gonna pull one of my favorite books here. Obviously,
there's the hope that you know, Metal Gear could come back, to its spot. But like, to be honest, like, you know, other if it's not just a spot on remake, like, would you want like Metal Gear made by some Joe Schmo company? I don't know, man, because like, that's a hard, difficult one. We've had Metal Gear games not developed by Kojima.
Yeah,
those things were not that amazing, were they?
Yeah, remember people let's get a Metal Gear Solid 1 remake. We had one of those. Look how that turned out. You know, Twin Snakes.
That was not very good. Yeah, Snakes was, I mean, I know some people, some apologists, but that game was kind of garbage.
Exactly. But real quick, C. Iverson in the building. That's my nephew right there. What's going
yo,
on?
Yo, my yo. Also, nephew. Shout out to Fergus Mills.
Yes, yeah, so always shout out to Fergus Mills, you know? Anyway, go ahead, Carlos. What are you going to say, man?
Yeah, just real quick on the whole thing. the rumor, this rumor came out, I think Jess Corden was the one that provided the rumor. But I will say, if Jess Corden starts talking about Microsoft stuff, I listen. If it's anything other than that, I'll take it with the biggest grain of fucking salt.
Yeah, and by the way, shout out, respect to Jess Corden. Yeah, that's my dude right there. But you know, you're right about that. He's a, when it comes to Microsoft stuff, listen to Jess Corden. He knows his shit. PlayStation, I'm not saying don't listen to him. I'm just saying with this specific rumor, I don't give a fuck who it is. Take it with the healthiest amount of Morton salt, you know? Like, fuck yeah, that. You know,
and the dream, you know, because obviously a lot of and I've seen, you know, some of the chatter. A lot of the dream scenarios is that Blue Point is the one in charge with handling sort of a remake of Metal Gear.
Yeah, Blitz, you don't have to book the question. Just wait 2 months; it'll come up again. And yes, you can ask the question again. When it'll come up again, it'll come up again.
So it's gonna come up again.
Yeah, feel free.
And it's always and the rumors are almost always started by people that are in quote unquote insiders.
Yeah,
but they're not really like they've never broken like these type of news with like Konami related stuff.
I think I'm gonna be the next guy to break this story.
Yeah, I think Tony's gonna be the next one.
Fucking bullshit, man. All right, let's move on.
Tony Polanco says
they'll believe it too. They already made stories about me. You know. by the way, I was featured in somebody's video over the week. You know, I forgot who.
Well, was it good or bad?
It was just my thoughts on the whole Phil Spencer thing. You know, nothing bad. They were just going, hey, you know, Tony Polanco, blah blah blah. You know,
no hit pieces or anything.
No hit pieces. Yeah, there. You know, it's probably one of those like, oh, even journalists are saying, you know, whatever that stuff. All right, moving on here. Last two questions of the night. All right, Black Mage. And by the way, Black Mage, thank you for asking, you know, changing your question, because he asked a, not only was it like a non-gaming question, but it was like timely. It like I couldn't save it for like the AMA special. But so thank you for changing them. First question here. Are video game movies becoming good / great? Have we moved on from Uwe Boll's creations and other such titles as Tony's favorite, Wing Commander? That lets me know this guy's been listening to Throwdown for a long time. So everybody knows I hate that fucking movie, you know?
That is a horrible, horrible movie.
Horrible. So are video game movies, let's just expand it. Are video game media getting better? I'm going to say yes. Last of Us, listen, I have my problems with Last of Us, you know, as is, but that's well done. Mario's $1 billion and people generally seem to like it. Adam, you know, he loves the fucking movie.
I like 10 times.
Yeah.
I would say the thing about like a lot of the video game movies and video game content, the biggest difference from when we were younger and now is that all the people that are making it grew up with these things.
And you're right. And Manny, even expanding it, what's that Netflix show everybody likes based on a video game? You liked it too.
Which like, one?
Overwatch.
Castlevania.
Yeah, Castlevania.
There's Arcane.
That's it, Brian. Arcane, yeah.
Okay, Arcane, like, that's not even based off the game. Like, thing has
the game. Right. The game has absolutely no story. They literally.
Yeah, the game has no story. The show has no right to be that good. It is the weirdest goddamn thing.
Yeah, but I feel like we're getting a good amount of stuff now.
But in general, they did have an open field to play in, a playground to play in. Yeah. So I feel like them, they're sort of a unique situation.
Black Mage with the bits. Let's go. Yeah, I know you're right about that.
Let's get
Cyberpunk, that counts too. The Edgerunners.
Again, an open field. They literally made another character that exists in the same world.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett. Sorry.
So, yeah.
Brett, go ahead.
I lost it.
Oh, well, never mind. I got distracted by a sandwich on my timeline. Anyway,
I remember.
Yeah, go ahead.
I will say this. Objectively speaking, they are giving these things way more time and budget. I mean, just look at the Fallout series, right? Like, they're throwing millions of dollars at this stuff. Used to be anything game-related, they're just like, I don't know, give it the bare minimum amount of money we need to do this, and then we'll just move on. So I think that you're getting better results, but I also think it's because people are investing more, and I think the investing is telling of them getting good returns. People wouldn't be investing a shitload of money into a Last of Us TV show unless they thought they could fly.
And also Sony literally was sort of semi-funding the thing, too. Like, they have their own production studio that literally sort of develops these things into films and, you know, TV things.
That scares me. I mean, I know they do it just...
what's scary about it? I mean, better them adapting their own shit than having some dope decide to change everything around, right?
True, unless it divides their focus, which
all it is just it's not like it's going to affect the games. All it is just another division of a PlayStation, kind of like like a bunch of the other stuff they have. So I don't see it. It's not like they're co-opting Well, they did co-opt what's his face to Neil Druckmann, but you know, come on, Neil Druckmann. All Neil Druckmann has to do is just write a script, and then have his guys essentially start making a game.
You know? I don't have any cause for concern. It just makes me nervous.
I think that's fair.
I think it's better them handling this stuff than some other person. But then again, even Sony's film development factory didn't have the best start with that Ratchet and Clank game. I mean, movie. Yeah.
By the way, do we think the Gran Turismo movie is going to be good?
I don't know if it's going to be good, but it's not really based on Gran Turismo as the
apparently thing. Apparently, it's based on a true story.
It's based on a somewhat true story. Yeah.
It's a weird tangential thing where it's based on the Gran Turismo Academy, where the guy won the chance to drive a real car. But I don't know.
I don't know.
When they announced it, I was like, how on earth can you make a film about Gran Turismo? There's nothing cinematic. Well, there's nothing that you can translate to cinema about that game. Like, again, there's no narrative, there's no overarching story or ideas behind it. It's just kind of, you just drive and get better. So, what, they just show guys just like I thought that they're going to do something like Grid Legends, where it's like, okay, you have a guy who's racing in the Gran Turismo or something, and he's just trying to make it big. So he starts off like a small town boy, you know, comes to the city, drives fast cars, there's a rival, etc. Yeah, I did it on purpose. Nice. Like, I thought it was going to be something like that, where it's very cliche. And then I've seen this, and it's like, it's slightly better, but even then, it's just like, I just...
It's about gamers!
Yeah, before you all get too hyped up, don't forget the Monster Hunter movie is not that old.
Oh, God. That's right. Thank you, Brett.
Yeah. Oh, I got a question.
Let's not forget Mortal Kombat.
And Mortal Kombat and that Resident Evil Netflix thing and Halo, the TV series.
Yeah, we're still getting Drek.
There's still a lot of stinkers out there. Yeah.
By the way,
Twisted Metal that's coming, too.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
I know there's a lot of stinkers in between some of the good stuff, but you know, beggars can't be choosers in this thing. So, are we ready to crown this as the golden age of video game adaptation?
No, we're not there yet, man.
Not yet.
All right. And the last question of the night. We've had a variant of this before, but I'll ask. This was different enough. What are five gaming related items, games, peripherals, consoles, etc. that the panel would put in their own time capsule, not to be open for 500 years.
Things that we own?
It could be anything. I don't know. Throw a Dreamcast in there.
If you do not put Elden Ring in there, I'm going to be very upset.
Well, you can. Go ahead. Should we put a CRT TV in there too? So you can play some of these.
Yeah, so you can play the Dreamcast. Yeah, you want probably want to put that in there.
Those things are already
and a VCR, so that you can switch it from VCR mode.
Yeah, channel so 3.
Whoa, man! You want to be able to play two consoles without unplugging wires in the back of the TV? The fuck is your problem?
Nah, man. You just use the VCR. You know, because the VCR can do multiples. So you can have the RF switch, and you could have the colored cables. The was it AV cables?
I always daisy chain the coax boxes.
Yeah, you know, like the Nintendo one into the Genesis one.
Yep.
If you had a 3DO like I did, that was at the end.
What's the name of that? I keep forgetting the name. It's my mech games. What's the name of that fucking game with the big ass controller? Put the controller. Was it Mech Warrior? I don't think it was Mech Warrior, but put the controller there. Put that big ass controller there. Just because it's so ridiculous, you know.
I don't know.
Steel Battalion.
Steel Battalion. I guess I'd put a Nintendo Entertainment System in there.
Yeah, man, why not?
Yeah. I mean, the irony of that was, like, I think it didn't really have... it was basically just a keyboard spread out over a very large surface area.
Yeah, with joystick. The funny thing about Steel Battalion, going back to Steel Battalion, it's like the game apparently sucked, but the novelty was just that big controller. It has knobs in it.
Yeah. Was I the only loser who had their own flight stick?
I'm pretty sure Adam must have had one.
Because like I had the one that four mech games, it would like you could both turn it left, like bend the stick left, but you could also rotate it clockwise and counterclockwise. So you could like strafe, turn, and pivot all off of just me, huh? Okay.
Yeah, it was easy. But I like
I don't know. A flight stick, maybe I don't know if Adam had one. But I mean, there was so many things, consoles that he in, you know, peripherals he's had. He might have had one at some point. He chimes in like, "Yeah, I had one."
Oh my god! For fucking Armored Core, I need to see if I can get a flight. They're probably cheap as fuck. But like, yeah, man, play your mech game with a flight stick. Play it with two flight sticks. I don't even know if you can do that. But
I mean, the thing about it is like, would it even work?
It did for virtual
Armored Core. That's a different control scheme. I mean, Armored Core was never really like that, you know?
I've never done two. Like, a flight stick with mechs is it's good stuff. I recommend it.
Yeah. All right. Any other peripherals you guys want to toss into this thing?
The Max Pad?
I don't know.
We love them.
I want to put like a handheld in there, but I just don't know which one.
I would
throw the first personally. Thought
the first game, the first handheld, the Game Boy.
What, that? Wait, like OG Game Boy, not Game Boy Color.
Got to be with the original, man. Got to be green, you know.
I thought the color because that thing was.
Granted, the color can play the classic ones too.
But I like the green. You know, it's like nostalgia.
That's how I played. The thing was like as big as a PS5, Tony. Come on.
Yeah, no, it was great, and we loved it. You know.
Not denying that. I'm just saying that thing was massive.
Yeah. So and it's a classic. Let's toss it in.
We can't put a PS5 in there. We need room for some other stuff, too.
You know?
Okay, man. I can say putting Game Boy in there.
Yeah. All right, cool.
I'm going to say the Guitar Hero controller.
Yeah, why not? That's a good one. That was classic in its way. All right, I think we named five. Good enough. You know? All right, man, we're done. Another good show. I'm assuming we don't have anything to plug, or do we, Carlos? I don't know.
Nothing this week. Probably next week, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, Walking Dead.
Oh. Yeah. Walking Dead. When's that coming back?
Yeah, it's coming later this year, but I mean, later this month, sorry, but we'll see.
Ooh, I like what Fergus Bill said. It's Steam Deck with plenty of emulator games on it. Yeah, man. Stuff. The full body suit and Big Dan. You know, Adams is
that hasn't right come there. Out yet.
Yeah, no, yeah, but it will be. You know, Saturn, Dreamcast, Game Boy, Nintendo, PS2, OG, Xbox, 32X. Why not?
Just put the whole Voltron in there.
To make it, I mean, I'll ask it because it's the end of the show. Why not? But whoever answers this, don't go too deep because I'm ending the show in like 2 minutes. Mob Hiss wants to know if anybody saw Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I did.
Did you like it?
I liked it. Okay. I liked it. I liked it better than 2.
All right, cool. All right, there you go. Let's get out of here. Make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You could also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links for everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Majoma.
Later, people.
All right, people, you already know. Thursday, later.
Ladies.
Peace.